Good morning.
Yep, it's Sunday morning. Pray that you've had a good week. We're going to look at another psalm. I'm excited about the psalms. Probably have another one next week, who knows. But Psalm 130 is where we want to look. So this is one of the songs of ascent. We'll talk a little more what that means in a minute. But Psalm 130, I'm going to read all of the verses. And actually, I'm going to read it out of my print Bible because I do have it handy here. So Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let's pray. Father, so thankful for an opportunity to share your word again. Thank you for the technology that makes this possible. Thank you, Lord, for the good weather we'll be able to meet outside here in another hour or so. And I pray, Father, that you just glorify your word, glorify your character, glorify your son. Lord, that you may receive all the honor and the worship. We are not worthy even to give you our little bit because it is less than what you deserve. But we thank you for your abundant mercy and plenteous redemption. Guide my words and my thoughts. And in the name and for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay. And so the psalmist here, this is a section in the psalm, starting, you know, Psalm 119 is the really big one. It's about the word of God. Then 120 through 134 is a section known as the song of ascents, the song of climbing. Some of your translations may say the song of degrees, but you kind of have to use your imagination there. They're talking about climbing, the steps, so to speak. And the thought is that it was as one ascended to the temple of God, whether you were coming from the country, climbing the mountain, Mount Zion, or even within Jerusalem, temple was on the high point, and so you climbed steps, literally, up to the temple of God. But among all the psalms, this one is also unique, as well as within the songs of ascent, in that most of them are cries for help, and you can tell this one was as well. But this psalm is dealing with a bigger problem than enemies from the outside or things like that. This one, like Psalm 51, is dealing with the biggest problem we have, our sin. Because as one approaches God, the problem of sin arises. As we see throughout the scriptures, when one approaches God, they become more aware of their sin. As Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of sinful lips." And it's from those depths do we hear the psalmist cry out. It is from those depths that we hear the psalmist say, "Please, Lord, hear my cry. Hear my prayer. Listen to my need. Be merciful to me, a sinner," as the publican prayed in Jesus' parable of the two who went to pray in the temple. That is the attitude that the psalmist comes to God with. Those depths of despair when we realize our sin is greater than what self-reform can fix. We need help. Because before the holy and righteous God, we're in trouble. Did you catch that in verse 3? If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, if you should count them off, if you should be watching them and keeping a tally, who could stand? No, there is none who do not sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Quoting from Solomon, quoting from the Psalms, quoting from Paul, Old Testament, New Testament. They all point out that our iniquities create a barrier between us and the holy God. Holiness, righteousness cannot have sin in His presence. And so all of us, no sinners will stand in His sight. There is none righteous, as Psalm 143 says. And then Paul echoes it again in Romans 3. So what is to be done? What can be done? Verse 4 gives us that wonderful contrastive conjunction. That's your fancy grammar term for the day. But there is hope. From the bad news that we are all doomed to the good news, the gospel, there is forgiveness with God. But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. God has provided a way. God Himself came and provided a sacrifice so that He could forgive sins. It was in His nature from the very beginning to want to forgive sins. He created us knowing we were going to need redemption. He created humanity knowing He would have to come and put on flesh in order to be the sacrifice for sins and to make a way to be reconciled to this wayward part of His creation, His image bearers. I want you to hearken back to these words: the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That is how God described Himself to Moses on Mount Sinai when Moses came up to plead for mercy on behalf of an entire nation of rebels who took God's Ten Commandments given to them just barely a month before and had broken them all flagrantly at the base of the mountain with the golden calf. That is how our Lord is. He does not fail to punish sin, but His desire is to forgive sin. So that sin of yours and mine will have to be punished. It can either be punished in Christ, in His sacrifice, or we can take it upon ourselves. Because here's the amazing thing. The Lord provides forgiveness. We just have to ask for it. Come to Him and find forgiveness. Confess and forsake. And you'll notice that at the end of the book, those who hide, those who flee, are not the ones who received forgiveness. They were the ones who received judgment. But those who come to God in repentance and faith, receive forgiveness of sins, reconciliation. And in that reconciliation, we see that there is an important thing here. There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Now see, it seems like not what we expect. Because those who were fleeing, weren't they afraid of God? No, they were afraid of His wrath. They were afraid of the judgment, but they were not afraid of God. They did not have the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. Because what that's talking about is a relationship with God. A positive, loving relationship with God. We are forgiven in order to fear God, in order to know God, because the unredeemed do not know who God is. They may fear His wrath, they may fear His judgment, but they love their sin more. And so they take their sin and flee away from the light. Whereas those who God has redeemed, He comes with forgiveness when we come to Him with our sins and lay them at the cross. They may cower in terror, those who flee from Him, but they will not willingly love. There's that important element of the free will love. We love because He first loved us. And His expression of love for us is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God must forgive in order for that relationship to begin with Him. And so that is an important contrast here in Psalm 130, there in the middle of it. We're all doomed. We deserve separation from God. None can stand. All have sinned. But there is forgiveness with God that we may know Him, reverence Him, respect Him, and fear Him, because it is a love relationship with Him. And so the psalmist says, I wait for the Lord. I wait, my soul, all of me waits. In His word is where I find my hope, an anticipation, hopeful anticipation. More than one who waits for the dawn. And we've probably been there, where that dark night when we feel the weight of our sin and just the of not being able to escape that sin nature. But more precious than the dawn is the day spring from God Himself, the light of the world, who came to bring salvation to not only Israel, but to all the nations. Every kingdom, every tribe, every tongue, every people, all image bearers. The end of the book is not telling of a colorblind world, but of a panoply of color, of diversity before the throne of God. Every tribe worshiping before God, giving thanks to the Lamb for providing a way to be saved. Because with Him there is mercy, verse 7 tells us, abundant, plentiful redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And the same is true for us Gentiles. All our iniquities forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, who was slain before the foundation of the world, foreordained for our forgiveness of sins. This is to prepare us to ascend into God's presence. If we're going to come to God, the sin problem must be taken care of. But thank God, He's the one who took care of the problem for us. He made the way that we may ascend unto Him. Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through I hope you've enjoyed these meditations from the Scriptures, seeing how all the Scriptures are woven together to point us to Christ and the forgiveness of sins that is there with Him. We're going to continue to have the videos, whether you're listening to these on YouTube or listening to these through a podcast. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. We need them. It's a tumultuous time, and we need to look to God. And I think that's what the Psalms are trying to remind us here as we've been walking our way through the Psalms, we were made to be in relationship with God. And our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your great love. You loved us before we knew You. You loved us before we even could even think of coming to You. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So thank You, God, for giving us Your word that we might have hope. That we might, through Your Holy Spirit, feel the conviction and separation of sin in order to desire relationship with You. These are all gifts from You, as well as the sacrifice that we might be forgiven, the new life that You put within us, Your Holy Spirit to seal and guarantee that salvation, Your Son making intercession for us even now, and coming again one day, very soon, that where He is, there we may be also, as He is even with us now. And in the name and for the glory of Your wonderful Son and our essential Savior, we pray. Amen. God bless, and hopefully see you soon. Be safe.